Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Well, hello, my wonderful, wonderful audience. I'm smiling tonight because it's going to be one of those shows that is interesting, exciting, extemporaneous. I don't have a guest tonight. I have me and I have you. And I'm going to tell you about some of the worst things that have happened to me in a long time, some of the best things that are going to happen that have happened to me in a long time. And take off from there and maybe talk about life and handling the best and handling the worst. Not exactly sure where we're going, but this is going to be an hour with Peter Bregan, being with his friends in the audience. Thank you very much for being there. It's just amazing to think about the fact that I get to talk to you regularly. And I've been getting already tremendous support in the tough times we're going through right now. Well, hi again, my wonderful audience. I'm not sure whether to tell you the difficult news first or some of the good news, but maybe I'll start with the more difficult. We announced earlier, a few days ago, on our column, which is on America Out Loud. I believe America Out Loud is the best radio and column platform there is, run by Malcolm. Ginger and I do columns together weekly, usually, on all kinds of subjects. And we do our own radio show there together. And it gets funny. It gets a little scary sometimes in our conversations. And it's once a week there at 5 p.m. And it's a part of what Malcolm calls America Out Loud. The special medical program. And it's the Pulse, America Out Loud, the Pulse. The guests on that we have a terrific, but the other 5 days also have terrific people at the same 5 o'clock America Out Loud Pulse. Peter McCullough on Wednesdays does a show with Malcolm in which they talk, and that's a pretty brilliant thing to follow. And we're very, very, very proud, very pleased to be on America Out Loud. Put a column up there on America Out Loud with a headline. And the headline is that Robert Malone sues the Bregans for $25 million. Now, lawyers tell you that when you get sued by somebody for defamation, the safest thing is to stop talking about them. Well, that would be surrendering our rights to free speech, which is exactly what he wanted us to do, of course, to stop talking about him. Why are we even talking about him? It is nothing personal. It's not personal. Ginger and I have a combined over 110 years of doing reform work, and we've never been threatened with a suit for defamation because we don't defame people, never. I've never even had a malpractice suit to go beyond one threat that the person dropped right away because they didn't have anything to it. the person was trying to get me to say they were safe to be with their families when the person was thought his children controlled him through his eyeballs. And I said, I'm not going to write a letter like that. So he threatened me and threatened me and threatened me, and then he sued me, and then he quickly dropped it. The situation we're in right now goes back to when I published, Ginger and I wrote, this was my writing. Sometimes she does the writing, sometimes I do. This was my writing back in August, where I criticized Matthias Desmond. And I criticized him for doing two things that I thought were a huge threat to the health freedom movement and really to freedom in the world. And he was getting so much publicity and led the publicity all led by Malone. He was getting so much publicity that he was becoming a force in the world with these ideas. And so was Malone. And the first idea was mass formation. I didn't know at the time that the concept that you've all heard now, probably mass formation psychosis or mass psychosis, I did not know that that was strictly came from Malone, because he had said different things about it. And what Desmond has said is that he has, quote, ethical problems with that concept, adding psychosis to his concept of mass formation. And he said he has clinical problems. He's a psychotherapist, professor of psychology, clinical problems too, but and he's kind of laughs. He says, whatever's made us famous. I object to Desmond's ideas. First, because they shift the responsibility, the blame, the targeting for totalitarian oppression to the victims. For example, he and then Malone put a lot of emphasis on what was new about the German people, that they would fall into such a totalitarian state and even attack each other and murder each other. And that couldn't all be attributed to Hitler. Hitler didn't have a major conspiracy, they said. It has to be attributed at least as much, I'm not sure how they would measure it out, to the people who are now so alienated and remote in modern times that they get a hypnotic state that yearns for totalitarianism. Well, in fact, the totalitarianisms we have today are due tremendously more to the leadership than to the people. Think about Hitler. I mean, he murdered 20 million people in the process of holding his power. And I'm talking about civilians, not in war. Or think about Stalin. He killed maybe 30 million people in the process of controlling what was going on. Or think about Mao. Think about what he did with killing us in China, maybe up to 100 million people. That's what his own Communist Party says, 100 million people in the process of controlling and dominating people. Think of the power of the media compared to years ago. Think about the power of social media, of the CNN and NBC and MSN and all these people. Think about the way the educational system has been taken over by globalists and extreme progressives, and globalists from the right as well. It's not even a left-right anymore. It's just called global predators. Now, this is what I'm talking about is in our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators. At any rate, my wife has just sent me a note. What an interruption. She's wandering around the room trying to figure out what to do. The note is donation page not up yet. So when will it be up?
I don't know. We're debugging it.
Oh, we have bugs in our donation page. Bugged. Listen, if there's one thing you don't want in life, it's bugs in your donation page. people have been calling us and asking for asking for donations. I mean, I couldn't, I was wondering why is she circling around like that? But So our donation page is not up yet, but we will have a donation page, and it will give you the opportunity to donate to us, and we will use it for the defense, which is going to be in the tens of thousands of dollars for this case, even though we believe that it has no merit. And you can go to Bregan.com and find the case. You can read it yourself and see if it has merit. I mean, there's about 14 allegations, and I think five of them are not even me speaking. And they're all about policy. They're all about what goes on in the world. Yeah, there it is. You can read the complaint. It says it right there on the screen. So you can get all that information. So that was my quarrel with Desmond, was that he was setting things up so that people would blame themselves and wouldn't look in the eye and fight against the global predators that we describe in the book, COVID-19 and the global predators. I also had a very deep concern about something else Desmond said, which is that people who actually talk about conspiracies, that would include me, of course, and Robert F. Kennedy, and quite a number of other people. And Bob Kennedy's book on Fauci is the real Anthony Fauci's tremendous book too, and he endorsed our book as the real deep dive into the whole background. So I felt that his trying to say that people who are criticizing the elite, he puts it in quotes, so-called elite, that they themselves are part of being this mass hypnosis, and that we're doing it to escape from our own personal problems, that blaming the victim again, so we get relief from our own, and he uses the words anxiety, confusion, by blaming people above us in the hierarchy. Pyramid. Now, Malone does something much more serious. And let me say that Desmond has not been attacking me. As far as I know, not very much. The attacks against me came against the person I've been the most critical of, which was the Robert Malone concept. But I didn't know that Desmond wasn't in favor of it at the time. The mass psychosis, because if you're a physician and you act like you have the backing of a professor of psychology who's a psychoanalyst, and you're a physician, you come up with a diagnosis that's actually in the diagnostic manual, psychosis, and you say that groups of people are becoming psychotic, and that's why they're so messed up, and COVID-19 is the arousal of all of this fear in the individuals, and it's not due 90%, certainly not to the big philanthropic groups that are gathering together with the UN and the WHO, and it's not due to Bill Gates and the big institutions he's bringing together and also gathering with the UN and WHO. And it's not even, I mean, you got to have a whole disposition. You got to forget that the Chinese communists have infiltrated most of America's institutions and are also working with the WHO and with Bill Gates and the big banks and this very bizarre duel of empires that are both attacking us, but someday will attack each other, which is the Eastern Empire, which is basically Xi Jinping. And he's forming all kinds of alliances against the Western democracies in particular, and what we call the Western Empire, which is the group of of big banks and the most of the big companies in the world, and they work through the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates there, and I won't get into all those details now, but it relates to Malone, who began by poo-pooing all of that. He's changed his position now. When he thought he had me shut up, he started talking like he was a critic of globalism. I mean, and he does this with many people. But to be fair with Malone, although he gave us threats in the beginning, he gave me a nasty phone call that he hung up on, and he then had his lawyer send us a letter, a threatening letter. The letter was in September 26th. It's called a letter of claim or claim letter, which he asked us to pay him an unspecified amount for all the tremendous suffering I'd given him and all the work he'd lost and all these other things, as if I was the only person criticizing him. We did not accept that. And also in the letter were lots of money figures cited that other people have gotten in so-called similar suits. We said no, we got lawyer, and they just wrote him a nice letter, said we're not going to respond to the claim. It didn't have any real defamations in it, and Dr. Breggin wasn't attacking him personally, but was criticizing his concepts. And that, of course, is totally accepted in the political public policy arena. Then eventually he sent us on October 30th, the actual lawsuit. It's called the complaint. He has not yet, my complaint basically repeats the letter. But as I think I was saying earlier, many of the allegations are not even things I said. They're people who are summarizing and putting on top of a video of mine or something like that, that I never even see these things. People's comments, who are putting up a video of mine, or putting up more likely an interview with me, which I think they were. And there were other people he's suing as well. Most of it turns around the theme of Dr. Breggin. Well, we'll have to defend ourselves, and we're going to do the best possible job about it. I think there are a number of other reasons that Malone is attacking us. Malone has a long history of attacking people. And when I described that history again on America Out Loud, a few weeks ago, I put up a column about how Malone was attacking some of my favorite people in the world, attacking Peter McCullough, perhaps the most brave scientist in the world today, attacking Harvey Riesch, both friends of mine, who is the wonderful Yale professor who has been standing up so good on the COVID-19 issues, attacking an organization I'll be working with now, and that's the good news, the Wellcome Company, attacking them. And I think in part because Malone is there, and so is Harvey Riesch is there, Richard Amerling, Heather Gessling, all really good, powerful people in the movement who, and Malone is, I think, attacking that organization much as he attacks America Out Loud and lots of other people and organizations, in part because he seems to want to be the ruler, and he's knocking off as best he can the people who have strong positions in today's what we loosely call the health freedom movement. Trying to think of the next 5 minutes. I think another issue that maybe Malone was sensing that I would be asking him about is the claim that he invented the mRNA vaccines. Sometimes he's a little more specific and says he invented the platforms for the vaccines. He says both. And he's even said that he has contributed to the invention of the DNA vaccines. Well, 5 awards have now been officially given out by major organizations for people who were active in developing the mRNA platform. 5 people, and Dr. Malone is not among them. 2 people are given the most credit and are sharing a $3 million prize. Dr. Malone is not among them. I have no doubt that Dr. Malone made some contribution. He's got some research there. His wife has put out on a website a major defense of why he should be getting the Nobel Prize, because probably one of these people on the that have been given the awards is going to get the very likely the Nobel Prize. That's the usual process when you get all the lower awards first, especially if you get the big ones. And maybe he thought I would look further into that and talk about it, because I don't see anybody else talking about while he is getting all his power and all his entrance by claiming to be the inventor, it isn't being corroborated by the major organizations that give out these credits. And that doesn't mean that he is not being deprived of some of the credit he's due. But he has a history of attacking the people, at least one of the major people who is sharing the biggest award, attacking them. And I wrote about that. I'm sure he didn't like that. I wrote about that in the column I did before he finally brought the lawsuit against me. I think these are all factual matters. I think all of you are entitled to this knowledge. I'm not going to stop talking about it. At our age, I'm 86, gonna be 87 someday here. Ginger's 71. It's no fun to be attacked by somebody who wants to wreck you financially. That's basically the $29 million. I don't think has a lot of legal meaning. It's really intended to say, I want to wreck you financially. I don't think that could happen. I don't think it will happen. But of course, it's no fun to think about. And I want to say we've gotten tremendous outpouring of support. Yesterday, we got a call from Jeff Renz, who was a great nighttime show host. Known to Jeff, we go back like 30 years of reform work together, maybe more. Maybe even more than that, because way back into the psychiatric drug issues. And he's been a tremendous supporter, and he had us on the air talking last night. So we are not alone. We are doing well. We believe that we're doing the right thing in standing up to Robert Malone, because he is attacking just so many people in the movement. I haven't begun to list them all. And he is trying to become the expert on everything from virology to now being the expert on globalism, the very thing that he ridiculed me for believing in. So that's the situation we're in. None of the controversy that's going on now was created by me and Ginger or by, Peter McCullough or by any of the other great people that he's been going after. He's doing it for his own reasons. We have just simply been the cutting edge of talking about his mass psychosis, which we disagreed with. He began attacking us then. Never spoke about him personally like I am now, but this personal is all political. It's all about who he is politically. We have the right to talk about it. You have the need to know this stuff. And he's got this long career going back to being enraged at all the people he works with who didn't give him any credit. And now he's enraged and going after all the people now in our movement. I'll be back in a short time. Hi, welcome back. I'm back and my wife is back. This is slightly chaotic day. Did you have a message for the group?
Just that they're authenticating everything at GiveSendGo. So
GiveSendGo.
Tomorrow we should be fine at some point.
But so we'll be up, folks, tomorrow at some time.
We hope.
On the donation page. Well, listen, we're not that desperate that you have to run out and make sure we're going to be okay. Cases like this can cost literally hundreds of thousands of dollars if they get dragged on. And There's no rush for anybody to rush us help, but I think in order to maintain the a decent life, we will probably at some point need some help now, because we weren't bargaining on spending tens of thousands of dollars. I'm sure, as Dr. Malone realized when he brought the $25 million suit against us. So there is a lot of good news. Part of it is just the response. This will be the second or third time that we have been attacked, and the response has been so positive that it's given us new life. Now, new life at my age is, wow. You hear all the things on the air that are supposed to give somebody my age new life. This bill, that bill, this or that. But the new life comes from support. And this happened to me and Ginger together back in about 1985, when they trumped up a totally fake attack on us, on my medical license. And the attack was based, again, on freedom of speech. So they couldn't find any patients to complain about me. As I mentioned earlier, I haven't had malpractice suits against me. And I haven't had defamation suits. I won a defamation suit against a guy who settled long ago. It was 1970s, called me some names, and I sued him, and he had to settle for a substantial amount of money. We got a lake house out of it back then. And I love being on a lake, but as a part of our retirement, we don't have a lake house now. But they sued me for remarks I made on Oprah Winfrey, not sued, went after my medical license for remarks I made on Oprah Winfrey. It was right at the end of the show. And Oprah, who really did like me and really supported me in this attack on me, which I'll tell you about. Oprah asked me, Doctor, what do you do when you go to a doctor and they give you drugs or something like that? And I said, Oprah, if you go for the first time to somebody, I said a therapist, should have said psychiatrist, and then I said psychiatrist, you go to a psychiatrist, Oprah, and they don't seem to like you or really connect to you, and they give you a prescription for drugs, put it in your pocket and don't take it. Don't argue with the doctor, because they can be dangerous if they get angry. So, and then go and find a therapist who really gives you a sense of worth. And don't take the psychiatric drugs. Just don't start them. Don't start them. So they claimed I said to stop taking your drugs. I never said that. They said that people were suiciding all over the country because they'd stopped their drugs. They could never produce one. And our lawyers wanted us to be very nice, like this time. The first lawyers we talked to would be very nice, get along, be collegial. And Ginger checked around with people who'd been under attack on areas where these doctors on these committees would be touchy about, like attacking their drugs. You know, they all use, they're all of them into drugs. It doesn't matter whether they're psychiatrists or not. And they said, you have to make them regret it. You have to go public and make them regret it. You have to be strong and powerful and not quiet. And for us, being strong and powerful and not quiet was especially important because Dr. Malone was continuing to be critical of people in the movement. And he's working on kind of alternative movements of his own while he's criticizing this movement. So, he's setting up a Malone Foundation. He's doing all kinds of different things. So we felt we had to stay in the picture, not on our own behalf. I'm too old to stand up for my own behalf. I care about the future. On the behalf of health freedom, we've decided we had to do that. And so we were in the same thing, position where my freedom of speech was being attacked. So we went public, and gosh, Ginger got to the dismay of our lawyers, and Ginger made contact with the New York Times, with the Washington Post, with the U.S. News, you know, everything you could imagine at the time. Ginger was in touch with telling him the story of the attack. And it came out all over the world instead of being quiet. And then we went before the committee, and I was with my lawyer, my wife, and they said that I couldn't bring my wife into the committee meeting. You see this kind of domination thing? And I said, then, oh, I'm not going in. Okay, you can bring in your wife. So three of us sat there, me, and on my left was my wife, and on my right was a lawyer, and this great long table in front of us with maybe, I don't know, maybe eight docs on each side of the table and a few at the end. And while they're being critical of me, without seemingly to know what actually I'd said, one of the doctors said, and I've read the whole manuscript, and you said psychiatric drugs cause brain damage. So I said to him, he was an OBGYN, I said, doctor, do you know what, in this kind of a mood, I had my Ginger with me, lawyer with me, it was fine. I said, do you know what tardive dyskinesia is? Now, tardive dyskinesia, very serious adverse effect, produces bizarre movements and all kinds of difficulties from taking antipsychotic drugs. And I won't get into that now. And please don't rush and stop any of your drugs, because that's got to be done carefully. And I'll get to that in a minute, actually. And I'll just summarize here. So I did, I waited to see what was going to happen. And of all things, the one psychiatrist on the committee was very friendly to me. I did not expect that, because they all pushed drugs, shock treatment, some even lobotomy. He turned out to be an all-time family therapist who believed in helping his patients. She said, doctor, yes, I'd like you to give us a seminar on brain damage from psych drugs. Well, I knew I'd been writing more about that than anybody in the world, so I gave him maybe a 20-minute seminar. So at the end, they decided, they got together, and they said, well, this is a committee of the American Medical Association. They are going to decide whether I should be examined in a negative way by the licensure people of the state of Maryland. And they're vetting me, is what's called. So they said, we're going to say that that there should be no case brought against you at all, that this should be ended. But don't go to the press again, the chairman says, and adjourns. So we step out of the room, and our attorney says, well, we can't go to the press now. Ginger looks at him and says, this is just amazing. She looks at him and she says, our freedom of speech ahead of our medical license. Our freedom of speech ahead of our medical license. We've been together 3 years. I don't know if she owned my medical license by that point, but she sure does now. God bless her. And that was part of my seeing the power of this person. She said, I've got the Baltimore Sun waiting downstairs. We're going to talk to him first. He's been waiting a long time. And then we didn't have cell phones. And I've got a sack of quarters and dimes, and we're going to go and find a hotel, and we're going to call all the people. I have 10 newspaper reporters and columnists waiting to hear the result of this. And we did. And we didn't say we were exonerated by the licensure. We said we were exonerated by the AMA committee. And now with their recommendation was going to be to let us go, not even to investigate us. But that didn't mean that would be the decision. So now we wait for the decision of the licensure people. Well, the licensure people apologized to us for this. Thank me for my contributions to mental health in Maryland. So we've been through this kind of thing before. And I just started to think about something. I will. And then a stranger called and said, I was out of the country when you were being attacked. I'm so sorry. I can't tell you why. I'm so interested and want to take care of you. But how much did you spend on this? We told him. He said, I'll put a check in the mail. And he did. We were broke at the time. We ain't broke now, folks. We're not close to broke. So, good news. We come out on top of things when we play fair, but don't quit. But And one of the big things that's happened now that we are very, very proud of is that we have been asked to join the wellness company. And why did I get to the attention of the wellness company? A gentleman there whom I did not know, one of the men I did not know at the wellness company, and get to the attention of the founder of the wellness company. It was a, you know, wealthy separate individual, not a medical person. Well, I had defended the wellness company because I knew they had to be on the air. In my report that I told you about, I defended the wellness company. So they got in touch with me and said, how'd you'd like to join us and be one of us educating people, and you'll be in charge of the psychiatry area and psychiatric drug withdrawal area. And tonight, when I get off of this, I'm giving my first seminar to the group of doctors who will be offering treatment maybe a month down line. They're just getting set up at Wellness. It's a wellness company. You can go look them up. Again, I want to tell you the doctors who are affiliated. These are the main docs. One of them's not up yet, and I'm not up yet. Peter McCullough, Heather Gessling, Harvey Reich, Richard Amerling, Paul Alexander is joining now, and Peter R. Bregan, MD, is joining now. It's going to be a wonderful group of really good people. So this is a gift I've already gotten from Dr. Malone's attacking them and me. People have come to join together. And I think we're going to see a lot more joining together, because my goal really is to help this group join together. I want to see this happen. It'd be one of the great privileges of my life would be to participate, not lead, participate in bringing this group that we call the Health Freedom Group. And it also goes into the broader whole freedom movement in the United States today. The whole group of us that believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, we believe in America, we even believe in America first, almost all of us, because we know that globalism is the great enemy. Globalism is the great enemy. And so we believe in getting ourselves together. And we're going to be doing this. And tonight I'm going to give a talk on how do you withdraw from psychiatric drugs, and be training the doctors there. And they'll be available. I talked with Richard Amerling tonight, Dr. Amerling tonight about it. And in a month or so, they're going to be doing teleservices around this issue. That's going to be telemedicine around these issues. And this is a dream of my lifetime. You know, I always felt that I wish I had a second lifetime in which I could instead be known as the conscience of psychiatry. I could have the opportunity to help train people to be good therapists, because I love doing therapy. I love helping people. I feel like it's a gift from God. I feel like it's a sacred trust to help people. And I want to teach other doctors and therapists about really having this approach to other human beings and being unafraid to treasure them and to share yourself and your opinions with them, not to make it some top-down hierarchical relationship. And Richard Amerling called me quite a bit around the attack on me and said, you know, come on, come talk to us and, you know, participate in the training program. Now, we haven't worked it up yet, but I've already got that it worked up in my head, because I was so interested in doing this that on my own I developed but never finished. I found it in my computer today. A layperson's guide to psychiatric drug withdrawal. So I'm going to do a layperson's guide, I think, and a short doctor's guide. And if you're interested in understanding psychiatric drug withdrawal, this is the only book by a physician on psychiatric drug withdrawal, certainly the only one by a psychiatrist. And it's published by a medical publisher, Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal. But the subtitle is A Guide for Prescribers, Therapists, Patients and Their Families, which is the secret to withdrawal. You have to do it with support and guidance. Somebody experienced should be helping you. And the more drugs you're on, the more it's true. And the longer you've been on, the longer it's true. The worse the drugs are, the more it's true. So I'm going to get to, you know what a bucket list is. That's where you get to do things before you die. It usually means skydiving or whatever. I hate to get into a man's imagination about what a bucket list might look like. My bucket list, probably the only thing on it was what they are offering me from this wonderful new organization. And I'm really, really glad to be working with them. And that is the opportunity to train doctors and how to really help patients without drugs. And how to help them come off drugs. So that's what I'm hoping to be doing. Nothing set in stone. Any of you are there from the wellness company, I'll be seeing you in about an hour or so for our private seminar. Now I have 5 minutes left. I did not have any idea what I was going to talk about tonight. We got a late cancellation, very late cancellation, and the way I look forward to those, I don't know why I don't schedule myself to do individual presentations. I just don't. I can't tell you why. It's always been like that with my radio show. Always like to have somebody to talk with, but you know. It's really good to do this once in a while, and you get to know me better. You get to know pretty much what it would be like to sit at a dinner table trading stories with me in many ways. You get to know a little bit more about me and Ginger. I think I'll end up on the broader subject. We are in America today under attack by a violent worldwide collaboration. Don't get the idea that it's a conspiracy theory to think about people building empires at the expense of everybody else. This is the story of humanity. The first great totalitarian empires were in India and China hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. Hundreds of years before. They had vicious, violent, totalitarian states, particularly in China. So they are in these empires vastly admired by Mao and by Xi Jinping. And you can be sure they want to impose upon the world an empire that comes from both the imperial history and the communist history. Because communism is a globalist oppression. Remember, workers of the world unite. That's what that in that little pamphlet, you know, that Marx wrote, along with Engels. They were global predators from the beginning. And all the communist countries have killed hundreds of millions of people. The secret to not killing hundreds of millions of people is to be a constitutional democracy. We don't do that. Now, we've done some pretty bad killing of people, both Democratic and Republican presidents in recent years, taken murder into their own hands, I think, in a way. But it's because our democracy is devolving. We're losing the constitutional democracy. That's why it's happening. The Constitution says that only the Senate can make war. That's what it says, folks. And we've allowed the presidency to take that away. And the presidents, going back, many presidents have all been globalists, including the Republican Bushes. The only exception, Donald Trump, who was anti-globalist, said he was anti-globalist. One of the reasons he's gotten so maligned was because in the beginning he said, I'm against the great empires. I'm not sure he knew how great the empires were, but he knew that globalism was a terrible threat. So building empires is the history of humanity. When I was growing up, we were fighting, and the United States and Great Britain, the Allies, were fighting two empires, two groups that wanted to run the world. Hitler wanted to be the head of the world, and the imperialists out of Japan who wanted to have an imperial Japanese world. And then growing up in China and taking over China toward the end of the war was a man who really wanted to take over the world and had a whole plan and is still doing it. Now it was Mao, and Xi Jinping, a follower of Mao and the early much earlier totalitarian monarchs of over China. So don't be fooled. This is not it's not conspiracy theory. You build these things only by conspiracies. Alexander the Great, Caesar, you know, the people are trying to kill them. They're trying to kill other people. Sometimes they kill their children. Sometimes they kill their fathers in order to be emperors. They conspire like nobody's business. And that's what we have right now. We've got a lot of conspiring against America. And the key, folks, this is the conclusion. The key is to fight for our constitutional democracy. It is the ultimate bastion against globalism. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. Thank you for being there at these times.